from Matthew 26.
Verses 145 to 152. With all my heart I call to you. Answer me, Lord, and I will obey your commands. I call to you. Save me, and I will keep your laws. Before sunrise, I call to you for help. I place my hope in your promise. All night long I live, long I lie awake, to meditate on your instructions. Because your love is constant, hear me, O Lord. Show your mercy and preserve my life. My cruel persecutors are coming closer, people who never keep your law. But you are near to me, Lord, and your commandments are permanent. Long ago I learnt about your instructions, and you made them last forever.
Second reading is from Matthew chapter 26, reading verses 36 to 46. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Grief and anguish came over him, and he said to them, "The sorrow in my heart is so great that it almost crushes me. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went a little further on, threw himself face downwards on the ground, and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he returned to the three disciples and found them asleep. And he said to Peter, "How is it that you three were not able to keep watch with me even for 1 hour? Keep watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more Jesus went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cup of suffering cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done." He returned once more and found the disciples asleep. They could not keep their eyes open. Again Jesus left them, went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he returned to the disciples and said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to the power of sinful men. Get up, let us go. Look, here is the man who is betraying me."
Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for the Bible, the written word. Father, we thank you for the many truths that it contains. Father, we pray as we explore the text this evening that you would open up our hearts and our minds to hear something new and exciting from you. Father God, we pray that you would speak into our lives. Refresh us, revive us, and inspire us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder how many of you have a family tradition? Anyone have a family tradition, something that you do? Even once a year? No? Well, we're just beginning. Maybe it's just us in the Hills household. But we're just beginning to create a family tradition, I think. And it's sleepovers, which are the most absurdly named things ever. Because you never sleep at a sleepover. You're just there. Anyway, my youngest son, Cameron, who's just left, and I'm surprised he's here. Well, I thought he would be too tired. Has got this into his head that he needs to have sleepovers. And it's a time when he gets dad and big brother to take their duvets or their sleeping bags and their pillows downstairs to the lounge. And we crash out. I get the settee now. But we crash out and we watch movies together. And last night, Cameron decided that we were desperate to have a sleepover. So Carita had been out and bought all the kind of wrong sweets that you can't have. Lots of sugary sweets and sours and all that kind of stuff. And we kicked the girls off upstairs. And we sat down or laid down to watch some movies. And Cameron wanted to watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Yes. Now, we managed to persuade him not to watch the extended versions, because I think we'd probably still be there now watching them. But we managed to persuade him to watch the shortened cinema versions. So that was okay. We managed to watch the first episode, the first in the series, The Fellowship of the Ring, and I stayed awake for that, and that was fine. But then I started to get a little bit dozy as we were watching the second one, and as I was stretching out under my sleeping bag on the settee watching the Two Towers, my eyelids began to droop. And Josh will tell you that I think he's lying, but Josh will tell you that I started to snore. And I woke up on a few occasions. I think sometimes I woke myself up through my snoring, and sometimes I think I was woken up by Cameron asking me to be quiet so he could hear the movie. But I was beginning to doze, and actually I gave up halfway through the second movie. Oh, I think it was halfway through. And I just gave in to sleep. And you didn't watch the third one, did you?
No.
You stopped after two. Okay, so we've got another one to watch at some point. But I guess as I was thinking about the sleepover, I can resonate a little bit with these poor old disciples that were worn out and struggled to stay awake as Jesus asked them to pray. So this evening, we're continuing in our Lent study as we build up to the events of Easter. And tonight, as I've said, we're going to be focusing on the Garden of Gethsemane, those last few hours before Jesus was arrested. And we're going to focus our attentions on those poor inner three disciples, Peter, James, and John. The three disciples that were closest to Jesus. And we're going to see how when Jesus needed them most, they failed him. The context of the passage we've heard read to us this evening is this. Jesus had been anointed at Bethany. A woman, Mary, according to John's account, had poured oil over Jesus' head to anoint him, as it were to prepare him for burial. Judas had gone off to agree to betray Jesus to the chief priests for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus had sat around the table and shared a meal with the disciples, had shared in the Last Supper. Jesus had told the disciples that they were going to run away and leave him. He said that the shepherd will be taken from the sheep and the sheep will scatter. And Peter boldly declares that he would die for Jesus. And Jesus points out that Peter will deny him. And then from the Last Supper, in this context of a great deal of stress, of anguish for all of them, they go off to the Mount of Olives. And in Mark's Gospel, they go off singing hymns. And it's probably they were singing the hymns that they would sing at the end of the Passover meal. Jesus had spoken plainly of his death and his betrayal. He's made it clear that not a single one of his disciples will stand by him, despite what they say. And I think, looking at that whole context, the mental anguish, the stress, the tiredness that that would have created would have been huge for them. Every single one of them. As the realization of the reality that they were facing dawned on them all. So they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, a place that maybe would have been familiar to them, maybe a place that they'd been to before when they'd been in that region. And it's here that they get set for prayer. Jesus wants to pray. He wants to talk with his Father. And he wants his three closest friends, the three to whom he is entrusting, as it were, the establishment of the church, to come with him and to join with him in prayer. He wants them to support him, to stand with him, and to pray with him at this most difficult time, at this most painful time. This passage, although we're focusing on the failure of the disciples, is more generally viewed in the context of prayer. Indeed, many of the commentaries focus on Jesus' prayer, the urgency of his prayers, the repetition of his prayers. The failure of the disciples is not the main point of this passage. So tonight I want to focus on just one verse from this passage. And I want to look at it from three different angles tonight. And I want to explore what we can learn about prayer. The phrase that I want to focus on this evening is from Matthew 26, verse 41. It says this: keep watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. And the key bit: the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Dan, is that me clunking? No? Okay. I can just hear a clonk. Sorry, that's just annoying me. I was trying to work out if it was me. So the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And as I reflect on this verse, this challenge from Jesus, I sense that there are a number, or three ways, in fact, that we can view it. And it's those that I want to explore this evening. Firstly, although this verse was directed towards the disciples, I wonder if Jesus is in a way saying it about himself too. You see, Jesus was connected to God. Jesus is God. He is God in human form. Nobody, anywhere, at any time, has ever been more connected to God than Jesus. Jesus was divine. He was set apart. He was appointed by God to fulfill his great rescue plan for humanity. He was with God from the very beginning. We read that in Genesis. His very nature is God. And yet here he is, tired, worn out, stressed out, hunted by the very people he came to save. And he's crying out to God in prayer to be spared what he knows is coming. But he is prepared to accept whatever God chooses to do. Jesus is so connected to God that it's unreal. He's so connected by the Spirit that he knows what God wants, and he knows that what God says is going to be what's best. But Jesus was also fully human. He was born to a woman. He was brought up the son of a carpenter, and probably was a carpenter. He sweated, he bled, he hurt, he hungered, just like each one of us. And it's in his humanity that he cries out to God to be spared what he knows will happen next. And I wonder if in one way the spirit that Jesus is referring to here is his spirit, is his connectedness with God, his willingness to carry out God's plan. But the body he is referring to perhaps is his body, his humanity. And it's his humanity that's ready to give it all in and to run. If you look at the passage, you will notice that in essence Jesus makes the same prayer three times. He prayed hard. He prayed with sincerity. He prayed with passion. He prayed so passionately that he sweated blood, it says. Jesus prayed with urgency. He knew that time was short, that the end was in sight, and he pleaded with God. But Jesus also prayed with obedience. Not my will, but yours be done. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus knows what he must do. He is willing to do it, but he needs the strength to see it through. Secondly, I wonder if Jesus was saying this about the disciples. Jesus has spent a good deal of his time teaching and training his disciples. They were with him wherever he went. They knew everything they needed to know. He had told them and taught them. And they had been in on discussions and on his teaching to others. They had seen his miracles. And Jesus has spent a good deal of the last few hours giving them final instructions, encouraging them and challenging them. They in turn had expressed their love for him, their willingness to die for him, And yet we know by reading on that these words of Jesus ring true in their lives. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. Jesus was saying to them, in your hearts, you want to follow me. You want to stand for me. You want to die for me. But in reality, you will run away. You will deny me. You will fall asleep and leave me alone. In his time of need, when Jesus was beginning to feel separated from God, when he could see the clouds gathering and his death looming large on the horizon, Jesus wanted his closest friends around him. He wanted to draw comfort from them, strength from them. He wanted to feel their love reaching out to him. He wanted them to support him, not just practically, but spiritually too. And their inability to pray with Jesus, to support him in this time of need, and to uphold him in prayer, was how they failed him spiritually when he needed their help the most. Jesus wasn't looking for heroes. He wasn't looking for warriors. At that time, Jesus was looking for people of prayer. Jesus wanted to know that these guys were really with him when he was at his weakest and most vulnerable. He wanted his friends to lift him up in prayer. The disciples talked a good game. They knew what God wanted from them. You see, their spirit was willing, but they could not deliver. Their flesh was weak. Finally, I wonder, is Jesus saying this to us? Does our body match our spirit? Do we use the physical limitations of our body, our energy, our tiredness, to dictate our spirit? Or do we allow God's spirit dwelling within us to hold us true to our faith and to our mission and to our calling? Is Jesus leveling this statement to us in regard to our prayer life? Now, I speak a lot about social action. And when I first read this passage, I was thinking, yeah, tiredness. Maybe we're all too busy. Maybe this is about saying, look, we don't just say we're too tired. Just get up and do it, because that's what God wants us to do. But then as I was reading and as I was chatting to Paul about this passage, it struck me again, this isn't just about getting up and getting on. This is about praying and about communicating with God and about trusting in God. So maybe God is challenging us tonight about prayer. Maybe God is challenging us about our own individual prayer life this evening. Maybe God is challenging us to pray more, to pray every day, to give some time over to talking to God, to reaching out to God, to asking God what he wants to do in our lives, to asking God what we can do to serve him. And maybe you struggle to find time to pray, to spend a few minutes on your own, reaching out to God and allowing God to reach down to you. So maybe tonight, this is about saying the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak. It's about saying, I'm going to find some time every day to reach out to God and allow God to speak into my life. But maybe God is encouraging us to be accountable to others. Jesus chose 3 disciples to be real with. He chose 3 disciples to rely on. Peter, James and John. And he spent time with those, apart from the other disciples. Those were the 3 that he took with him to that point to pray. Those were the 3 maybe that he was accountable to. The 3 that he could share exactly how he was feeling. And they could share with him. So maybe God is challenging us this evening to find people that we can be accountable to. Maybe to form some little prayer triplets or some little groups where we can phone each other up, we can pray for each other, we can support each other in a really closed small group where we can be real, where we can bear all our hurts and all our joys, all our pains, and know that people will be there standing beside us, praying with us and for us. Maybe God wants you, me, to become accountable, where we can be honest with each other and honest to God. Perhaps he's challenging us about the prayers that we make in our home groups. Maybe we don't pray much in our home groups. Maybe we don't have time because we're too busy reading the Bible. But maybe God is saying to us tonight, find time in your groups to pray. To pray for each other in your home group. To pray for the church in your home group. To pray for your community in your home groups. Maybe the home group is to become a bigger group where we support the church in prayer and our town in prayer. Perhaps God is challenging you to join a home group. Perhaps you've never had the time, you've been too busy. Perhaps there's other things that you need to do. But you know you need to get involved in something. The Spirit is willing. But maybe we're putting up barriers to stop us from joining in. So maybe God is saying to you tonight, join a home group. Find a place that you can commit to, where people will pray with you and for you, where you can pray and learn and grow with them. Perhaps there's a challenge to the whole church about how we pray when we're together as a group. The opportunities to receive prayer under the cross after the service. Do we walk out of the church failing to go and pray when we know we need to because we don't want people to see? Maybe God is saying, take those opportunities. Maybe it's about how we pray at church meetings when we have the lists of names of people that we need to pray for. Do we hold those people up in our prayers, not just when we're together, but at other times too? Maybe it's in our monthly times of prayer after the morning service. Maybe God is challenging us as a church to be committed to prayer as a fellowship. Maybe it's to turn up to prayer at a prayer breakfast, to pray for the church and to share fellowship. Maybe it's about being committed to pray as a church when we have our weeks of prayer. Those opportunities where we can come together to support others in the fellowship. I wonder if Jesus could look at us as individuals, if he could look at us in our small groups, if he could look at us as a whole church community and say to us, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If the answer is yes, then the challenge to each one of us is, what are we going to do about it to make sure that the flesh and the Spirit match, that we don't find ourselves wanting, that we don't find ourselves failing God because we couldn't quite keep going. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this example of prayer that we see from Jesus. His persistence, his passion, his desire to do your will no matter what, and his obedience that he would listen to your answer and follow it. Father God, our prayer is that our flesh would never be found wanting. That we would always be able to speak up and speak out for you. That we'd always be able to find time to pray to you, to communicate with you, to reach out to you and have you speak into our lives. Father, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Help us to be strong. Help us to be men and women of real faith and real prayer. In Jesus' name we pray.